Hi, Deb. What's on your mind?
Hi, how are you?
Well, I think I'm okay, even though it's raining outside, but that's okay. That's what it does.
I hear you. We needed it, though.
Yep, you're right.
I've got a question. About 4 years ago, I went in for physical, and my doctor sent me for an ultrasound for my thyroid. And it was discovered that I have quite a large goiter on the left side of my thyroid, and I have three smaller ones on the right. And they didn't really know what had caused it. I don't seem to have any issues with it. I don't, you know, I've read about Hashimoto. I don't feel as though I have many of those symptoms. And I'm just wondering if there's any way to get rid of a goiter once you've got one.
Well, sometimes, ma'am. Now, you mentioned you've read about Hashimoto's, but did you also have a blood test done for it? Because it's a very specific sort of testing. It checks for antibodies to various components of thyroid. They have these fancy names like TGA and TPO, but basically they're nothing more than antibodies to components of thyroid. Did you have that tested, ma'am?
I don't think that they did any of that testing. They, like I said, they looked at it on an ultrasound and just said, yeah, you don't have any symptoms of anything, you know, you're not feeling extremely tired, so on and so forth, then, you know, it's just a goiter. It's just a growth. We don't know what it's from. We don't know how it happened. I went and saw two specialists about it.
Well, sounds like it's not Hashimoto's. If you ever want to know for sure, though, just be aware, and I'm not saying you need to, but just be aware that there's a precise blood test for it. Okay, second thing, goiter usually means enlarged thyroid. It does not mean a growth on the thyroid. It's just that the thyroid itself has grown some more when it usually doesn't. If they're worried about those growths, they'll usually ask you, oh, we better get a biopsy, make sure it's not cancer. And since that wasn't done, probably they're not worried about a cancer. Otherwise, again, they would have asked for the biopsy. So here's the weird thing, ma'am. In 1850-something, a doctor in Paris found that goiters could be gradually reduced just by having people take iodine. I'm not kidding. Combination of iodine and iodide, actually, called Lugol's iodine. Anyway, he published that in 1850, and I did say 1850, and no kidding, in the 1920s, a researcher by the name of David Marine, who was North America's pioneer in iodine and goiter, he pointed out that it had been known for 60 years how to reduce goiter. And by the way, iodine would usually do it. Good grief, ma'am. I know. It's just progress sometimes in healthcare is glacial. I don't know why, but it is. So you might check in with a doctor who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine. And there's a simple test to find out if your body has filled all the receptors in the thyroid gland with iodine. What's done, it's called an iodine loading test. You load with iodine and then urinate into this little container and see how much comes back out again. And there is a standard for how much should come back out again if all the iodine receptors are loaded. And if they are all loaded, well, nothing further to do there. But I really doubt it, because what usually comes back in this sort of circumstance is, oh my goodness, a lot of that iodine was retained by the body. I guess the body wanted it. So check with a doctor who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine and see if you can't get done what's called the iodine retention test. It has to be sent out to a lab. It's not done by any lab in Washington State I know of. But there's some good ones back east that do it.
Okay, that sounds great, because I was told that absolutely no way was there any way to get rid of it. And I'm like, there's got to be a solution someplace.
And it was discovered in the 1850s, so.
Okay, I have another question.
Yes, ma'am.
Every now and then, I just get a dizzy spell. I just, you know, it's like a vertigo thing. And I have dealt with it for years. And at one point, I talked to a pharmacist about it, and he suggested taking motion sickness pills, and it does make it go away. But,
oh, ma'am. You might want to try nature's remedy. It's called drinking ginger tea every day.
Well, I will try that. Absolutely.
Yep. And if that doesn't do it, then again, check with a doc who's skilled and knowledgeable in natural medicine, see if you can find out why they're happening. Again, the ginger tea usually works as good as the motion sickness pills. It's just that the ginger tea doesn't work. I'm having a dizzy spell. Here's some ginger tea. No, it's one of those things that has to be drunk for several days before it sort of catches hold. And then the dizzy spells start to taper as long as one drinks the stuff.
Okay. I had talked to a gal that's a massage therapist that knows a gal that is going through her studies for naturopath, and they had talked about there being a salt crystal in your ear, somewhere deep in your ear, that if it gets stuck, you end up having these vertigo episodes. Is that true?
Well, that is a possibility, ma'am, but it's one of the way down on the list possibilities. Again, ginger tea clears it up for many people. There's another thing called Meniere's disease, and for that you need to check with a neurologist, which is just unaccountable dizzy spells. And the darndest thing is that a professor from the Mayo Clinic, no less, in the early 1950s, was able to clear up Meniere's disease dizziness entirely, completely, with intravenous histamine, of all things. I won't go into that one further, but just to let you know that if it is Meniere's disease that making the dizziness, that might be it. And then a third possibility, ma'am, that's why I say the salt crystal's way down on the list, is simply low blood sugar attacks that are manifesting as dizzy spells. And if you happen to have type 2 diabetes in your family anywhere, then the possibility of low blood sugar attacks causing dizziness is much higher than it is for people who don't have type 2 diabetes in their family.
Yeah, it's not in the family that I'm aware of anyway.
Good.
Yeah.
You don't need that, too.
Well, I'll go with the ginger tea.
Yeah, that's the simplest, ma'am. It is the simplest.
There you go. Well, thank you so much. I was referred to you by a friend. This is the first time listening to your show, and very interesting. Thank you very much.
Well, you're welcome, and happy ginger tea. You can actually, if you wish to, put honey in it, but most people don't need it.
Nah, I don't need it.
Okay.
Thank you, Dr. Wright.
You're welcome, and thank you for calling.